Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Ever felt like, you know, your brain just isn't quite keeping pace with your ambition?
Oh, definitely. It happens.
Whether you're trying to master a new skill for work or maybe dive into a complex hobby or just, you know, satisfy that curiosity, the sheer amount of information, it can feel like a tidal wave sometimes.
It's overwhelming.
We all want to learn faster, right?
Sure.
More efficiently, and actually make that knowledge stick.
Absolutely. That's the goal.
Well, this deep dive is actually custom tailored for you, our listener, if you're looking to maybe optimize that learning journey. We're going to explore some really unique ideas on enhancing learning, memory, cognition, and focus.
That's right. And our source for today's deep dive is a pretty fascinating YouTube video by Hunter Williams. He takes a very specific look at what he calls a peptide stack for learning.
A peptide stack for learning. Okay. So our mission today is basically to unpack this very distinct perspective. We want to distill its core arguments, the proposed solutions, and give you a real shortcut to understanding this particular approach.
Exactly. A shortcut to this specific viewpoint.
And we absolutely have to stress this up front, just as the source itself does. This information is presented as, and I'm quoting here, fantasy fiction role play for entertainment purposes only.
Right. And peptides are suggested to be purchased for research purposes only.
With a very strong advice that you shouldn't use them on yourself.
Yeah.
We're simply here to relay the content, the perspective presented in this one source.
Just exploring the ideas laid out in the video.
Okay. So before we even jump into the solutions, the video kind of sets the stage by talking about learning frustrations, things we probably all know. What are the specific pain points this source zeroes in on, the ones that might really resonate?
Yeah, it identifies several key challenges. First, there's the big one, lack of focus and motivation. It's just hard sometimes to maintain attention, stay interested. Maybe it's boredom. Maybe it's, you know, having to sit still when your brain wants to move.
Uh-huh. That stillness thing is tough.
Definitely. Then there's the issue of high stress and anxiety. Learning often comes with pressure, deadlines maybe, and that pressure can seriously interfere with the process. It reduces your cognitive performance right when you need it most.
Right. Chokes you up.
Exactly. And third, many of us struggle with just plain memory retention, you know, absorbing new stuff and actually holding on to it effectively.
Making it sick.
Yeah. And related to that is the difficulty in forming new neural connections, that fundamental brain adaptability, creating the pathways you need for real understanding, for mastering a skill.
Okay, so focus, stress, memory, and building those connections. Anything else?
And finally, cognitive fatigue.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, physical burnout, you can get mentally exhausted during intense learning periods. It just dims everything.
Yeah, that mental fog is real. We've all been there. Okay, so those are the problems. Now, what's really interesting is the kind of solution this source talks about. It's not your typical stimulants or smart drugs, is it? What's the angle here?
No, and that's a really crucial distinction the video makes. It emphasizes a non-stimulatory approach. These aren't compounds meant to just, you know, jack up your heart rate or mess heavily with neurotransmitters or ruin your sleep.
Or things that are potentially habit-forming.
Right. The focus is specifically on peptides that are claimed to support the brain's natural functions, its underlying mechanisms for learning.
Okay, supporting rather than just stimulating.
Exactly. And the context for their suggested use is also key. The video positions them for, like, learning new tasks or skills over time, or for general improvements in learning, memory, cognition, focus. It's not presented as a tool for just, you know, cranking out a paper overnight.
More foundational support, less of a short-term boost.
That's the idea presented.
Okay. So given those principles, the video then gets into the actual components of this proposed stack. What's the first one on the list? And what's it supposed to do for learning?
Right. The first one is oxytocin. Now, this is a really fascinating neuropeptide. It's often called the love hormone or the bonding hormone.
Yeah, I've heard
that. It actually originates deep in your brain, the hypothalamus and gets released by the pituitary gland. But the video proposes that in the context of learning, it works by reducing anxiety, maybe enhancing social interaction if that's relevant, and basically creating a positive emotional state.
Ah, making you feel good about the learning process itself.
Exactly, making it more conducive to learning and retention. The source claims it makes the user associate pleasure and reward with that task, so maybe reading something dense feels a bit less like a chore.
Okay, interesting angle. What about dosage and things like that, according to the source?
The video suggests 50 micrograms twice per day, potentially increasing up to 200 micrograms depending on response. It also notes that injections are described as more effective than, say, a nasal spray, which might need a higher dose, like 100 to 200 micrograms.
So oxytocin here is less about literal love and more about creating this mental comfort and openness to new information. Priming the pump, almost.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Making learning feel less threatening, more rewarding.
All right. What's next in the stack?
Next up is cerebrolysin. This one's a peptide derived from porcine. That's pig brain proteins.
Okay.
What's interesting here is that it apparently mimics natural neurotrophic factors, things like BDNF and NGF.
Brain-derived neurotrophic factor and nerve growth factor. Those are important for brain health.
Hugely important. They're like chemical signals telling brain cells to grow, survive, make new connections. So cerebrolysin's proposed role is pretty significant. Supporting neurons, promoting neurogenesis, new neuron growth, and enhancing synaptic plasticity.
Plasticity.
Yeah.
That's the brain's ability to change and adapt.
Exactly. The source really highlights its benefit for neuroplasticity, which is crucial for learning new things, especially as we get older. You know, the video even uses that funny analogy of avoiding becoming like a crotchety old man stuck in his ways, cognitively speaking.
Okay, so it's like an anti-grumpiness compound for your brain's learning circuits. Keeps things flexible. How is it supposedly used?
The video suggests 5 milliliter ampules, taken one ampule at a time, administered intramuscularly so, injected into the muscle twice per week. And it's suggested for potentially longer periods, especially if you're in a phase of intense learning lasting weeks or months.
Gotcha. Intramuscular twice a week, helping the brain stay flexible. That's a big claim. What follows cerebrolysin?
Then there's dihexa. This one's a synthetic peptide. Its main proposed action is facilitating synaptogenesis.
Synaptogenesis. The creation of new synapses, new connections between neurons.
Precisely. It apparently works by binding to something called hepatocyte growth factor and its receptor, c-MET. Think of it as kickstarting the actual building process for new neural pathways.
So directly helping the brain wire itself for new skills or information.
That's the claim. Enhancing neuroplasticity, cognitive function, promoting those new connections to improve learning and memory, especially for complex skills needing cognitive flexibility. The source does describe it as maybe a little bit weaker than some others, but still valuable in the stack.
And the suggested use.
Hunter Williams suggests 5 milligrams per day, often taken orally, though he mentions it could go up to 10 milligrams daily.
Okay, dihexa for building connections. What's after that?
Following that, we have BPC-157. Now, this peptide is derived from human gastric juice, interestingly enough. It's primarily known for its regenerative properties, promoting healing and repair in different tissues.
Gastric juice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How does that connect to learning?
Well, the proposed role here is more indirect, but potentially crucial. It's thought to have neuroprotective and anti-inflammatory effects. So by reducing stress and inflammation in the brain, it helps create a better overall environment for cognitive functions to work properly.
Ah, so cleaning up the background noise, reducing interference.
Kind of like that, yeah. Hmm. The video specifically claims it helps clear brain fog. There's even a personal anecdote mentioned about concussions.
Hmm, interesting. And how is BPC-157 suggested to be used?
The source suggests 250 micrograms per day, administered subcutaneously just under the skin. It does mention oral versions exist, but they're seen as primarily for gut healing, which, again, the source suggests might have an indirect effect on the brain to help with inflammation.
Right, the gut-brain axis connection. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Okay, who's next?
Next is teacrine, or sometimes called theacrine. This is a naturally occurring compound, structurally pretty similar to caffeine. It acts on adenosine and dopamine receptors.
Like caffeine, then, giving you energy.
Sort of, but the mechanism is described differently. Instead of just blocking adenosine receptors like caffeine does, which can lead to jitters and a crash, teacrine is said to modulate them. And it also influences dopamine.
Modulate. So a smoother effect.
That's the idea presented. Providing benefits like enhanced cognitive performance, focus, and energy, but without the typical negative side effects of caffeine, the jitters, the anxiety, the sleep disruption. It's described as shorter acting, maybe 2-3 hours, good for promoting creative focus, and even balancing left-right brain hemisphere learning, whatever that entails specifically. And crucially, it doesn't seem to mess with sleep.
That's a big plus. And the dose?
200 milligrams per day orally, according to the source. And it can apparently be paired with caffeine or L-theanine if desired.
Interesting. Okay, one more left in this stack, right?
Yes. The final one mentioned is tesafensine. This one is a triple monoamine reuptake inhibitor.
Okay, breaking that down. Monoamines are things like dopamine, norepinephrine, serotonin.
Exactly. Those key neurotransmitters involved in mood, motivation, alertness. A reuptake inhibitor basically keeps more of them active in the synapse for longer.
So boosting those feel-good and get-up-and-go signals.
Right. The source suggests this enhances mood, motivation, and cognitive function, which obviously aids the learning process. Makes it feel more engaging, more rewarding, perhaps.
Wasn't this looked at for something else originally?
Yeah, it was initially researched for fat loss and appetite suppression, but the claim in the video is that it's not habit-forming in this context.
Hmm. And the suggested use for learning?
250 micrograms per day, taken orally. The source notes that while some studies might use higher doses, 250 micrograms is preferred for getting the cognitive effect without significantly impairing sleep, although it does acknowledge there can be individual variability in side effects like heart rate changes or sleep issues.
Right. Individual responses always vary with these things. Okay. Wow. That's quite a list of compounds.
It really is, each with a pretty specific proposed mechanism.
And what's truly compelling, as you mentioned, is that the source presents this not just as a list, but as a stack. It implies they work together. How does Hunter Williams explain that synergy? How do they supposedly combine their effects?
Yeah, the video definitely emphasizes the synergy. The idea is that they complement each other, targeting different bottlenecks or pillars of the learning process simultaneously.
Okay, so walk me through that.
So briefly summarizing their individual roles again, you've got tecocrine and tesafensine really hitting focus, energy, motivation, kind of the get started and keep going part.
Right, the drive.
Then BPC-157 is there for reducing inflammation, aiding regeneration, maybe keeping the brain environment clean and healthy.
The maintenance crew?
Sort of. Then dihexa is about promoting the actual synaptogenesis, building the new connection.
Laying the tracks.
Uh-huh. And oxytocin is there to reduce the stress and anxiety around learning, making it feel more positive, more approachable.
Improving the emotional state.
And finally, cerebrolysin supports overall memory retention and that crucial neuroplasticity, making sure the brain can actually change and adapt.
Okay, I see how they cover different bases. Does the source mention specific pairs working well together?
It does suggest a few potential synergistic pairs. For instance, oxytocin and tesafensine together could really enhance social interaction and motivation, which might be great for a collaborative learning situation.
Ah, interesting.
Then BPC-157 and tecrine, the neuroprotection from BPC plus the focus from tecrine, could help maintain cognitive performance during really intense study sessions, protecting while pushing.
Makes sense.
And cerebrolysin and dihexa are both aimed at enhancing neuroplasticity, so using them together is like doubling down on making the brain more adaptable and better at forming those new connections.
So the overall picture is one of complementarity.
Exactly. The stack is proposed to enhance these different aspects, cognitive function, memory, focus, motivation, stress reduction, all at once, covering what the video calls the pillars of learning and skill acquisition.
It's quite a comprehensive approach laid out there.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating how the video doesn't just list them, but even maps out a potential calendar for how this stack might be used. What does that proposed schedule look like?
Right. Hunter Williams outlines a very specific potential administration schedule in the video. For oxytocin, it's suggested immediately before the learning activity begins.
Okay, right before you start.
Cerebrolysin, being longer acting perhaps, is suggested 2 to 3 times per week. Maybe like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule, or perhaps Monday and Thursday.
Spread out through the week.
Yeah. Dihexa is proposed at 5 milligrams daily, taken in the morning.
Daily morning dose.
BPC-157 is suggested at 250 micrograms daily, but taken at night.
Okay, nighttime for that one.
Tecrine, like oxytocin, is suggested at 200 milligrams immediately before the learning activity for that focused boost.
Or right before.
And finally, tesafensine is suggested at 250 micrograms first thing in the morning.
Morning dose for that too. Okay, quite specific.
Very specific calendar laid out.
And it bears repeating one more time. As the source itself constantly underlines, this entire framework, this stack, this schedule, it's all presented strictly for fantasy fiction role play and research purposes only.
Absolutely crucial disclaimer. We're just exploring the information presented in this particular video.
Right. So that's a really detailed blueprint for one specific proposed strategy for learning optimization. I think the key takeaway here, which the source itself kind of highlights, is that learning really is a lifelong thing.
Mm-hmm. Always something new.
And understanding how different compounds or different approaches are proposed to affect our cognitive abilities, well, it can open up new ways of thinking about it, even if it's just purely theoretical exploration.
Absolutely. Just understanding the concepts can be valuable.
So after diving into these pretty advanced ideas about potentially optimizing the brain for learning, it makes you wonder what new skill or maybe field of knowledge might you feel inspired to deep dive into next? Mm. And how might just understanding these kinds of concepts, even theoretically, shape how you approach that learning?
That's a great question to ponder. What do you want to learn, and how could you theoretically make that process work better for you?